Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 7, text 20, 30 and 31. What Prahlad Maharaj learned in the womb. Translation: one must accept, this is text 30 and 31, one must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master. And in association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurandhitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the previous verse, it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection jaya Sushimantai. It has been previously said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. It is also said, dharmasyatattvam nihitam guhayam. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. Actually, the acharyas explain this point. Dharmasyatattvam nihitam guhayam. Guha means secret. So the dharmasyatattvam, the truth of dharma, the actual truth of dharma is to love God, to love the personality of God, to love Krishna, the beautiful flute-playing boy of Vrindavan. This is the highest truth. But this truth is not available in the dharma shastras. This love of God, this bhakti, this prema bhakti, is not available in the dharma shastras. You can read all the shastras, but you will not actually learn this truth. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. So in relation to this verse, our acharyas explain that the actual truth of dharma, this love of God, Krishna prema, is nihitam guhayam. It is hidden. It is a secret. It is a secret, and it is hidden. Where is it hidden? It's not hidden in the Shastra. You can read the Shastra, the Upanishads, the Puranas, the Samhitas, the Itihasas, the Upavedas, the Shrutis, Smritis, Pancharatrika Vidis. You can read all these Shastras. But you won't learn this truth. You won't gain this truth. This tattvam, dharma tattvam. Because the dharma, the highest dharma is love of God. Prema purusharta. Prema purusharta. This is the greatest goal. Prema purusharta. So this is nihitam guhayam. It is hidden inside the hearts of the prema bhaktas. This is dharma tattva, dharmasya tattva. The actual truth of dharma is hidden inside the heart of the devotee. So therefore, if we want to gain bhakti, if we want to become lovers of God or prema bhaktas, we must surrender to Guru, as this verse is mentioned. Because this secret, this truth of the dharma is within his heart. Nihitam guhayam. So this is the principle that's being discussed in this purport, as we'll hear, especially in this verse, how we have to approach that devotee who has love of God in his heart. That devotee who has love of God in his heart, this is nihitam guhayam. This is the dharma within his heart. And we have to somehow serve him and please him and attract his mercy so that he gives us that gift, that matchless gift of prema from his heart to our heart. Prabhupada goes on. The truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. It's very confidential. Just like you may have so many facts about yourself. People know about you. They know your appearance, where you live, how you dress, how you speak. But there also is a confidential aspect of your personality. That confidential aspect, what is going on inside your heart? What is going on inside your mind? It's very difficult to know another person's mind or heart. So this is the nature of this confidentiality. The actual religious principles are very confidential. And this dharmasya tattva nihitam guhayam. This is the most confidential secret which Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. He says rajaguhyam. He says rajavidya, rajaguhyam. He explains in the 9th chapter of Gita. Guhyam, same word is there. Nihitam guhayam. Guhyam, this topmost knowledge is rajavidya. The topmost point of knowledge is prema. Knowledge goes to this point. Knowledge should bring us to prema, Krishna bhakti. This is the highest understanding. So this is a confidential thing. You may see the scriptures outside, read the scriptures, and study the shastra. But this confidential principle is only found in the heart of the prema bhaktas. That's why we have to find that devotee who is a lover of God. And we have to associate with him and serve him. And by his mercy, he'll give us this very confidential secret thing in his heart. Nonetheless, it can be understood very easily if one actually adopts the principles of religion. As it is said in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The process of religion is enunciated by the Supreme Lord because He is the supreme authority. This is also indicated in the previous verse, which we've already discussed, by the words Bhagavato Toditaha. The injunctions or directions of the Lord are infallible, and their benefits are fully assured. According to Krishna's directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is bhakti yoga. In other words, it doesn't mean that this is the only religion, bhakti yoga. Because there are many paths, as mentioned in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, due to our own orientation, our own viewpoint, and our own feelings towards God or the Absolute Truth, Krishna has manifested in unlimited ways to approach Him. It's as if there are 100 people drowning in an ocean, and there's someone who comes on a boat to save them. So he's only one person, but he only has two hands. But he's 100 people who are drowning, so he may manifest, if he was very extraordinary, if he was Krishna, he could manifest 100 hands to save all those drowning people. So in the same way, people are drowning in illusion. People are drowning in the samsara chakra, this bhava-sagar, ocean of birth and death. So Krishna, the Absolute Truth, He's manifested hundreds of hands, hundreds of paths and ways for people to hold on. Hold on to God in some way or other and progress. Get out. Elevate yourself. Improve your condition. So therefore, 11th canto explains that there's so many different varieties of religious avenues by which one can approach the Absolute. But Prabhupada's saying here, very clearly, that the perfect form of religion is bhakti, is love of God. And we see that this is the universal element that is prevalent in all religious systems, prema. The major religions of the world have the largest followings, millions and millions of people, even billions of people. They have this conception of prema, love of God, is there. This is the perfection. To practice bhakti yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Guru Parashrayas Tasmat, Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam, Vishram Bena Guru Seva, Sarvartmana Vardhanam, Sadharma Pritcha Bhogari, Tyaga Krishna Sehetave. Prabhupada paraphrases the translation. One's first duty is to accept a spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion, Sanatan Dharma. The words Guru Shushrushaya mean that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushushana. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. This principle is discussed by Jiva Goswami, Guru Shushushanam. It means to render personal service to the spiritual master, to serve the body of the guru. And Prabhupada explains that in the purport. Help him in his bathing, help him to dress, sleeping, eating, and so on. In other words, you cook for the spiritual master, prepare his bed, clean his room, so many things. That's called Shushushanam, very intimate and personal service. And then it's explained that one should serve in a very personal way the spiritual master until the disciple has realized something. When a disciple has realized something, then he can actually go out and do something. Jiva Goswami says that we should serve the spiritual master in a very intimate, in a very personal, in a very close way, until we realize that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. When we attain a very strong realization of Sambandha Jnana, who we are, who is Krishna, and what is this world. And after receiving that strong realization from Krishna, then that realized disciple should go out and preach. It's explained by Chanaka Pandit that we should not get too close to three things, and we should not get too far away. We should not get too close to the fire, because we may get burned. We should not get too far away from the fire, or we may become cold, become sick. We should not get too close to the king. If we get too close to the king, we may make a joke, "Oh king, you're dressing very funny." If you get too close to the king, you may insult him, and he may cut off your head. If you get too far from the king, then you may be outside of his jurisdiction of protection. If you become negligent of the king, or you don't want to pay your taxes, or in different ways you remove yourself, you'll remove yourself from his protection. The same way, we should not get too close to Guru. Too close means we relativize the position of Guru. Too close means we think of him materially. We may be very close. Physically, we may be massaging Guru's feet. Very close, living with him, associating with him, very close. That closeness is what's told here, Guru Shushushanam. But we don't become close, meaning that we become materialistic in our view towards Guru. We see him, "Oh, actually, my Guru is ordinary. He is not extraordinary. He is not extraordinary. He is something a little better than me, or he is a teacher." This means coming too close. So we should not come too close to Guru. And we should not go too far. Because if we get too far out on a limb, we may fall off the tree, the Chaitanya tree. If we get too far away from the spiritual master, means we forget his orders. We don't follow his instructions. And we ignore him. And we remove ourselves from his mercy. But Jiva Goswami is saying here, in the beginning, a disciple must be very, very close. Otherwise, if he goes out prematurely, or he goes too far away prematurely, he can easily fall down. So then the question is, this principle, Guru Shushushanam, personally serving the spiritual master, how many disciples can do that? A guru has 300 disciples. So another meaning it's explained is that to be close to the spiritual master means to live within his shelter. Guru Parashraya, as this verse is quoted from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Guru Parashraya, the Ashraya means the shelter or the protection of the spiritual master. That's his lotus feet. That's his instructions. And he expands his lotus feet to make what we call an ashram. Guru Parashraya, Parashraya, the shelter of Guru's lotus feet means the ashram, the shelter of the ashram. Therefore, the disciples, they live in the Guru's ashram. They live in Prabhupada's temples. He's our Guru, Shiksha Guru, our founder, our Diksha Guru, our everything. So we live in the shelter of the temple. We go to the programs. We do our bhajan. And then when there's some strength and some strength in this sambandhagya, understanding, yes, I'm Krishna's servant. Yes, I must serve this mission of Mahaprabhu. Then we go out and preach. Practically, Guru can see, and he kicks you out. Just like a little bird in the nest. The little bird is trying to fly, flap its wings. And at one point, the mother kicks the bird out. Out! And then the bird is flying, because she knows, now he's ready. So Guru will send the devotee out when he has this position, Guru Shushushana. Pranaya Tera Diya Vacha. So in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that one should serve the spiritual master with his words, with his intelligence, with his wealth. And Prabhupada, he mentions that here. He's quoting another verse, Praner, Praner Arter Diyavacha. Because some of us have money, so we serve Guru with our money. Some of us have words, we speak on behalf of Guru. We have Diya, our intelligence. We make plans and discrimination to expand the mission of Krishna consciousness. But moreover, what Guru really wants is the same thing that Krishna wants. What does Guru want? What does Krishna want? He wants, when we say prana, prana means life. Maharaj was explaining it yesterday. But prana also means heart. Because the very center of your life is your heart. Your heart is gone, you're finished. And everything we do in life is due to this ras, this flavor, this loving feeling we're having. We're serving out of love. We're serving our friends, our relatives, our family out of love. This is pran. This is the life force. This love is the life force of the consciousness. This is the actual life force of the Atma, this prana. So this is what the Guru really wants. He wants the love and devotion of the disciple. Because he takes that love and devotion, it's in his hands, and he offers it to Srimati Radharani and to Krishna. In this verse we see the word Aradhananina, Aradhananina. So the word there is Radha, Radhanina. We understand from Acharyas, Vishwanath and others that Shuka Muni, Shukadev Goswami, he is a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. So people ask, why isn't the name of Srimati Radharani or Radhika, Radhika or Srimati Radharani mentioned directly in the Srimad Bhagavatam? It never says anywhere the Gopi Radharani or the Gopi Radhika. It says, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Radhanam Param. The greatest worshipper of the Lord. That Gopi who is the greatest worshipper of the Lord. So here this word is also mentioned, Aradhanena. So Aradhanam means to worship. Prabhupada translates the word Aradhana by the worship. So the word Radha is there. The Acharyas say that Shukamuni would not directly mention the name of Radharani because if he mentioned the name of Radharani, he would go into an ecstasy because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He would go into an ecstasy and become inert. He would become murcha, unconscious, for 6 months. Just like sometimes people are injured in an automobile accident and they go in coma for 1 month, 2 months. They're alive, but they're not functioning. Their senses are not functioning. So this was a situation with Shukamuni, Shukadeva Goswami. He would go inert. And of course that would not benefit Parikshit Maharaj because he only had 7 days. So we can understand in this verse he's mentioning, he's also glorifying Radha, Radhanena. In this principle, because he's talking about Guru Sangena Sarubhaktanam, Sangena Sarubhaktanam, Ishvara Radhanena Cha. So when he talks about Sadhu, as Prabhupada mentions, he says Bhakta Sadhu. In 1967, Srila Prabhupada gave a class on the same verse. 1967, 30 years ago, he gave a class on the same verse. And he takes this phrase, sadhu bhaktanam. He said a sadhu, the real sadhu is the sadhu bhaktanam, the devotee sadhu. This is the topmost sadhu. So then in sadhanam bhaktanam, then he said ishvarena. Ishvarena? Ishvaradina. So the real sadhu is the devotee. And the devotee is the worshiper of Ishvara and Radha. Ishvara Aradhanena. He Aradha. So you see in this line, Ishvara and Aradhanena. He worships Ishvara Krishna and Ishvari Srimati Radharani. So here, Shukadeva Goswami, he's actually revealing his Ishtadeva in this Sanskrit shloka, Ishvara Aradhanena cha. So the devotee, the spiritual master, he wants to bring that love out of the heart of the disciple and offer it to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada goes on, everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty. But the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana, because in the verse the word is arpana. Arpana is there. And the second, and 31. So Prabhupada is explaining, as he always did, word for word, what is the meaning of this verse. So arpanam, tadarpanam, means to worship. Ultimately, arpana means to offer everything you have, as he's mentioning. This is arpanam. Moreover, one should live among the devotees. This is sanghena. The verse says the word sanghena. So Prabhupada said, we should live among devotees. Saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Because sometimes there's the prophet says, first he's a saintly person, then he says saintly behavior. It seems to be repetitious. But we see that many people are saintly, so-called saintly persons, they dress as saintly, but their behavior is not saintly. So Prabhupada qualifies. He says, what should be a sadhu, saintly person? A sadhu, a saintly person, but he must be saintly in his behavior. Not just look like a saint, but actually be a saint. In the age of Kali, people are completely externally oriented. So they judge one another on the basis of their clothing, the kind of rings and watches and cars they have. Oh, he's a fine gentleman. He's a respectable gentleman. He has nice clothing, a nice car. They don't look deeper to see what are the actual characteristics, what are the attributes and qualities of that person. Is he a Malecha, a Yavana? Is he a Devachi? Oh, that doesn't matter. He's a rich man. He's well-dressed and has fine appointments. So Prabhupada qualifies, saintly means saintly in behavior, achar. Sanatana Goswami always glorified Haridas. You look like a saint, Haridas. You look like a saint. You're very thin, you're a renunciate, not eating anything. You look like a saint. And you're speaking like a saint. You're giving so much good instruction. But not only do you look like a saint and speak like a saint, but you're behaving and acting like a saint. So this is sadhu, saintly behavior. One's position as a sadhu, and then Prabhupada again repeats, unless one adheres to standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. It's actually explained that the behavior is everything. A Gaudiya Vaishnava, he wears his philosophy. Just like a person is wearing clothing, or he's ornamented with rings or jewelry. He's wearing those things. So Gaudiya Vaishnava, he wears his philosophy. He's Sadhu Bhushanam, Tatikshra Kurunika, Srida Saradenam. His qualities, his devotional qualities, that is what he puts on, that's what he wears. That is his shirt and pants, sari, choli, whatever. Dodi, Uttariya. His qualities, that is our real philosophy. If you have book knowledge and know so many shastras and have so many degrees, but you have no behavior, you're naked. Like you're not wearing any clothes. You're an undressed man. You're an undressed Vaishnava. You're all just words, philosophy. Real philosophy is behavior. This Krishna consciousness, or Vaishnava, Gaudiya Siddhanta, is so much emphasized behavior that when Vyasadeva came here, Vyasadeva came 500 years ago. He appeared here 500 years ago. He took the form of Vrindavan Das Thakur, and he wrote a Bhagavatam. Just as he did 5,000 years ago, he wrote the Bhagavatam, which we're hearing. So he took a form as Vrindavan Das Thakur, and he wrote the Bhagavatam for Kali Yuga. It's called Chaitanya Bhagavat. And in there, what does he discuss? And every page, in every chapter, sadachar, sadachar, sadachar. Behavior. How to behave. Philosophy and action. This is Krishna consciousness. Philosophy and behavior, in conduct. A gentle man. A Vaishnava is a gentle man. A gentle lady. All these qualities. So we wear our philosophy. We study, we realize, we surrender, we serve, and by Guru's blessings and the blessings of the holy name and Vaishnavas, we are wearing our philosophy. We are showing our philosophy. Just like we heard some devotees were arguing the other day. Someone was yelling and screaming. He was saying, "I am so-and-so disciple." And the person he was speaking with said, "Oh, you're not acting like so-and-so's disciple." He said, "You're not acting like so-and-so's disciple." So this action means achar, means behavior. So Prabhupada very much brings out this point. Therefore, a Vaishnava, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. So Prabhupada has already defined what is a fit person in his previous to the statement. He behaves very nicely, he is fixed in Krishna consciousness, and he is surrendered to the Lord. So in this, I'll read this verse again. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master. And in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and rules. In this one point, in this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vishram Vena Guru Seva, when Jiva Goswami gives a purport on this verse by Rupa Goswami, he takes the word Guru Seva, of course, means serving Guru. And we mentioned how Prabhupada brings out this concept of personally rendering service to the spiritual master. But Vishramba also means a mood of friendship. A mood of friendship. In another place in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, Snigda Sajatiya, Sajatiya, Snigda Sajatiya Sangha. That we cannot advance in spiritual life unless we associate with advanced devotees. But there is a limiting factor. There are some limiting factors about that association. And this is one of the factors. Snigda Sajatiya Sangha. The sadhu that we associate with, that devotee, he must be snigda. Snigda means affectionate towards us. He must like us. Or she, or this lady sadhu, or whatever. That devotee must actually have affection for us. They may be very advanced devotee, very realized, very fixed nishchabata, very fixed in devotion.
But they, when we approach them,
they're too busy. Oh, Prabhu, I'm too busy. I'm doing this and that.
Or when we approach them somehow or other,
we don't get along with them for whatever reason.
And there, we do not receive a flow of affection. We do not receive a tender reception
from that Vaishnava.
So somehow or other, it's not working. So this is the point. So then there's so many sadhus, so many shiksha gurus are there, so many sadhus. We go to someone else, and we find, oh, here's a very advanced devotee. He has time for me. He has time for me, and he's very kind-hearted. He's very affectionate. In that place, at the lotus feet of that shiksha guru or that devotee, your devotion will grow. Snigdha sadhatiya. So this is a very important principle in sadhu sangha. It's not that you just hear from anyone.
Guys, we see you anytime.
You must hear from the sajatiya, from our family. Sajatiya means your family. Our family, not to go here and there and everywhere. You hear from our family. Our family means the Gurupad. I mean, Gurupad or Prabhupada, the family that represents the Siddhanta and the mood of our Gurudev. This is called Taratnika, to be one with the mood and conclusions and teachings of Sri Guru. So this principle is there, this Snigdha. So now we take this and apply it to Vishrambena Guru Seva. So the same principle is there, that the disciple who has surrendered his life and soul to Gurudev must have Vishramba. He must have, this word Vishramba means a firm friendship, a loving feeling for his Gurudev. A mood of friendship and love towards Gurudev is very important. When the devotees once asked Srila Prabhupada, is it possible to love Krishna without loving the devotees or loving Gurudev? Not possible. We must learn to love Guru and learn to love the devotees. So this is Vishrambena. So by living in association with Guru and serving Him very personally, this love can develop, this affection can develop, because it's an exchange. That's why it's so much emphasized to have personal association with the spiritual master. But sometimes, surprisingly enough, we find that devotees, their own Diksha Guru will come to a temple, and that disciple will run the other way. Believe it or not. Their Diksha Guru will come to the temple, and that disciple, that guru, will be... The guru is sitting speaking, and the disciple's in Loi Bazaar. Or the disciple's in his room, sleeping. And you say, why aren't you hearing from your guru? Oh no, I've heard so much, I don't need to hear anymore. Well, it does look like you better hear some more. Or they say, actually, he doesn't care for me, and I don't care for him. He's my guru, and I'm carrying on, but I don't have much feeling. I don't have much feelings for him. I don't have many, many feelings for my Gurudev. This is not Vishrambena. This is not Vishrambena Guru Seva. Your Guru Seva cannot grow unless some Vishrambena is there. You ask the disciples of Prabhupada, how do you feel about Prabhupada? Each one of them will say, I love him. Even no matter how close or how far they are from Prabhupada's instructions or his lotus feet, each one will say, I love Prabhupada. I have great feelings for Prabhupada. I'm having my own difficulties or own problems time to time, but anyway, I really love Prabhupada. This is something special. Because Prabhupada was this, as he had an oceanic smile, according to Sally Agarwal, his smile was oceanic. So his love was oceanic, bigger than the seven oceans. So when anybody came in association with Prabhupada, it was personal. There was no question of impersonal association. There was no question of not reciprocating or getting feelings from Prabhupada. Prabhupada, every disciple has a Vishrambena relationship with Prabhupada, very friendly relationship. So this is, relationship is two-way street. So the disciple may say, I don't have Vishrambena for my guru. All right, I accept that Prabhupada disciples, and Prabhupada's so great and special, and you may all have that. But I don't have this for my Gurudev. As we mentioned, relationship is two-way. When you're, if you're Guru Dev and giving class and you're running to Lloyd Bazaar, where is your reciprocation? He's come to you. He was in Africa or somewhere preaching, and he came to your temple to see you, to be with you, to relate with you. And your idea of relationship is, let me run the other way. Let me go to Govardhan. Let me go to Radhakund or something. But Vrindavan, the whole spiritual world, as I mentioned, is within the heart of Guru. This is the guhitam, nihitam guhaya. So this is, we have to develop this personal loving feeling towards our Gurudev. Go to him, serve him, write to him, reveal your minds to him. And he will reciprocate accordingly. Yayatam amprapadyante. So these are some points in this verse. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The devotee is making the point that it seems difficult to recognize the actual position of guru or sadhu. Is it by their mercy that we recognize, or how do we recognize? Actually, they have an... It's not really a shloka, but an expression in English. They say, it takes one to know one. It takes one to know one. In other words, if you're a Mahabhagavat, then you can very easily understand what is a Kanishtha Adhikari or what is a Madhyam Adhikari, because you're on the topmost platform. You're standing on top of the mountain, and you can see what's going on in the valley, in the rivers, everywhere on the other mountain, because you're in the topmost vantage point. So it's a fact that we realize spiritual personalities according to the advancement of our spiritual consciousness. The Prabhupada used the analogy, the fly is sitting on the asana. But is he on the same level as the guru? He's sitting on the same asana. But he's not on the same level as the guru. So to have the vision to actually understand who is a devotee, we must become a devotee. When devotion sits in our heart, then that devotion gives us the perception to see devotion in the hearts of others. That's why Prabhupada, his vision was so transcendental and perfect, because his heart was an ocean of pure bhakti. So therefore, he could see devotion in the hearts of even the hippies of East Village. He saw devotion, he could penetrate with his eyes and see devotion in the heart of every jiva. Of course, it's there. But for us, we say, oh, he's a devotee, he's a demon, he's a not this and that. But the Mahabhagavats, they see the devotion in the heart of every jiva, and they bring it out. They bring that, there's a seed of devotion. But a seed is worthless unless it produces a fruit. And it cannot produce a fruit without a gardener, in this case. And the transcendental gardener to bring out the fruit of prema from the heart is Gurudev. So as we advance in our own Krishna consciousness, the symptom of advanced devotee is appreciation of the other devotees. Appreciation of other devotees means that you're seeing the quality of devotion in their heart. 1%, 5%, 100%, whatever. So as you become a devotee, you can see, oh, there are other devotees. There are other people here that are actually devoted to Krishna and serving Krishna. Oh, and there's someone, this devotee is a very advanced devotee. You cannot realize or see or perceive a devotee with your eyes or ears, only with your heart, which is saturated with pure bhakti. Then you can perceive a devotee. Being mentioned here, there's two angles of vision. One is, as Upendranath Prabhu explained, which is given in Shastra, how to discern who is a devotee and who is not a devotee, and what is their level, Kanishtha Adhikari, etc. Those symptoms are there. But now there comes a fine point of discrimination. What is the quality of their devotion? Everything, they're following all the, they have all the symptoms of a sadhu. So when one said he lines up 10 devotees and he has to discriminate, who is actually the most advanced? Of course, one is always speaking about Krishna, always chanting the holy name. But then there's many. But who is actually more realized? Who actually has the deepest and purest quality of bhakti? That is difficult. That is not, when one himself comes to that level, one thing is a shastric basis to discriminate who is following, who is not, who is Kanishtha. But then when you come to the level of Madhyamadikaris, then whom to associate with? Among, you have a choice of 10. Which one has the most bhakti? This just becomes sometimes a little difficult. That's why you can make this discrimination to a certain point. We say, well, which person? I see all these devotees are following. They have so many symptoms of a sadhu from Prabhupada's books, as you mentioned, exhibiting qualities of a devotee. But which one is actually the... I think this is kind of what this devotee was asking. How do we discriminate or choose which one is the most advanced devotee? Of advanced devotees, Rupa Goswami says you should try to associate with the most advanced. So he himself is encouraging us to make a very fine line discrimination. You line up the advanced devotees, like Maharaj was saying, Manushanama, out of a thousand is one. You line up all the advanced devotees and say, well, when we first joined the temple, we thought everyone was advanced. When we joined in Los Angeles, we thought, well, they're all Brahmins, they're all like demigods walking around here, and we're just, you know, cleaning the temple and respecting everyone, and everyone was my guru, and everyone was advanced, because we didn't have Shastric knowledge, and of course then you understand. But when you line up all the advanced devotees, then to actually discriminate, who is a prima bhakta? Who actually is in prima? That is something guhayam. That is something confidential and secret. That Krishna will have to reveal in your heart, when we have, in the devotee's heart, when he has the qualification to perceive. But our general mood is, Trinada, peace, and nichena, Tuariva. Everyone is my master. Everyone is above me. And everyone should be respected. But for hearing and associating, that fine line discrimination becomes difficult in the topmost levels. There's a little difficulties there. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.